Matt Bonestell joined us, I don't know, several months ago, right?
For
the Washington Post?
No, last month.
Was it? Well, okay.
3 weeks ago.
Well, yesterday. Matt Bonestell back with us. You can follow him on Twitter, just like it sounds, at Matt Bonestell. Good morning, Matt. How are you, man?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, we're chipping in to save the AAF since I just glanced at some of your current stories, and one that jumped out with me was the Carolina Hurricanes owner with the $250,000 essentially a bailout.
Million.
$250,000. Yeah, $250 million.
We got that money.
Well, but they wouldn't have named him the league chairman for $250,000, but $250 million, and now he's in charge.
Yep. Yeah, it seems like he stepped in after they had some trouble making payroll. There's some conflicting reports about whether they actually did miss payroll or not after the first week of games. So he came in and paid $250 million. He's the chairman. He basically owns the league now, more or less. And we'll see if they can get on some better footing from here on out.
But I would think going in, you would have some sort of business model. I mean, there's not idiots running this league with Ebersol and Polian and those guys. They're pretty smart. But you would think there's a business model, business plan going in. And to have this after the second week of the season is not good.
That's the question that really hasn't been answered yet. Is how they blew through all their startup money so fast. I mean, whether it was, you know, securing the field. I mean, it's not like they're paying the players all that much.
Right.
Each player gets about $80,000 a year, and that's the set fee. So, you know, that's curious how they blew through it. Maybe they didn't get as much as everyone thought they got, but, you know, it sounds like they needed a bit more money to keep things going so early in their first year, and that isn't exactly a promising sign.
Well, I was looking. They're trying to make their money back on the merchandise, because if you go there, they got some stuff which is way overpriced, which is just insanity. Matt Bonestell from the Washington Post joins us. But I tell you what, Matt, I don't mind the league. I'm actually kind of enjoying it, because I know a lot of the players. We've seen them around here in the Middle Tennessee area. I don't mind it, so it's not bad, but this is alarming.
It is, and people, you know, who watched it said, had pretty good things. You know, these obviously aren't quite NFL caliber players, but there are a few that probably should get another look in the NFL, and this will give them a chance to do so. And whether, you know, my thought on this always has been that this is a league that seems pointed towards becoming sort of a new developmental league for the NFL, whether that means the NFL buying in, which if I had to guess, is the main goal of the league, is to get the NFL to buy in. I mean, the games are already on the NFL network. So you know, they're not trying to be the XFL. They're not trying to overtake the NFL. This is clearly, they're going at it with sort of the proper frame of mind, where it's much smaller scale. That's probably a good thing, but something in their calculations obviously was a little off.
Well, and I'd say the Hurricanes owner is betting $250 million that the NFL will come to the rescue.
Yeah, that seems like he talked to the News and Observer this morning, and he said that he liked everything he's seen out of it, and that he didn't mention the NFL by name, but obviously he's going to want a return on this money then at some point, and obviously the NFL has the money to make that happen, but it seems like that might be a little ways off yet.
Also, kind of switch gears to the NFL, today's franchise tag day. Is this a whole lot about nothing?
It's not as big. It's really focused on defensive players these days, because, you know, big name quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, they get, you know, they're going to get paid, unless, you know, but especially with the quarterbacks and wide receivers, running backs, not so much anymore. So it's not like this is a big deal. It used to be a much bigger deal with a lot more teams doing this, but the salary cap has gotten so big, it just keeps growing, that teams often have enough money to chill out to re-sign these guys before they even get to this point. So it's not as big of a deal as it once was, but there are still some fairly big name players who could get this franchise tag this year.
I always love it, because we were talking earlier about a guy that you end up knowing in D.C. and Albert Haynesworth. When the Titans franchised him 2 years in a row, he was furious. Absolutely furious, even though they were paying him $7-8 million a year. And the guys we've talked to don't want to be franchise tagged.
No, they want to test. They want to see how much money they can get in the open market. So they really think this limits their earning potential, and there's probably an argument to be made for that. But then again, you got a guy like Kirk Cousins here in Washington who seemingly happily, he pretty much happily went under the franchise tag for 2 years because he got a lot of money because he's a quarterback and the scale pays the quarterback the most. So, you know, I think they would rather take the chance trying to meet with other teams and being stuck with their current team. But then again, it's a guaranteed paycheck, and it's a pretty good guaranteed paycheck for a year.
Yeah.
You just have to worry about not getting hurt.
Washington Post writer, sports writer, Bad Bone Still. That's how you can find him on Twitter as well. The end game with Antonio Brown. I know he's going to meet with Rooney, this week, maybe next week. We'll see how that.
He met with him today.
Is it today?
Yeah,
okay. Like I said, they're meeting today.
Literally right before I got off the phone with you.
Yeah.
They met, apparently met with Rooney, and they, according to the tweet Brown sent out, they've decided to part ways, but how that's going to happen, I guess, remains up in the air. So they met today.
Well, and then Le'Veon Bell, what's going to happen with him? I mean, you're taking two, you know, premier players off that roster, essentially, and I don't know that Bell, has he burned the bridge there too?
Well, there's talk that the Steelers still, they could put something called the transition tag, which is sort of a lesser franchise tag, but that would give Bell the right to negotiate with other teams, and the Steelers wouldn't get anything in return if he signs with someone else, but they would have the right to match it. So I think this is sort of like a thing that the Steelers can do, so why not try to do it and see if they can patch things up. But they also have James Conner, who looked pretty good this year. So, and he's under his rookie contract for what, 2 more years? So this might be the Steelers saying, you know, we'd like to work things out, but if it doesn't happen, then, you know, bon voyage.
I want to do this. You're in D.C. This is not football at all, but this Bryce Harper thing. In Nashville, we don't have a Major League Baseball team, but I think this has become now just what the hell is going on, right?
Yeah, I don't think anyone thought that he was going to draw this out the way he has, but, you know, it's sort of the way baseball's financials are shaping up for the biggest players, and the biggest teams can sort of play them off each other. And at the same time, you know, maybe he's like, well, I don't want to have to go to spring training for so long if I make this last as much as I can. So we'll see. It doesn't seem like he's coming back to the Nets, but stranger things have happened.
Why would he not? I know it's all about money, but I thought Washington's got a pretty good team, right?
Yeah, they're good, and you know, this is the team he's grown up with. But you know, he's his own guy, and he's a big star, and he needs to think about which team could get him possibly, you know, placed for where he wants to take his career, and maybe he thinks that's going to be elsewhere. And if so, there's really, you know, that's his decision to make. It seems like all these teams are offering vaguely the same amount of money, and it's all a ridiculous amount of money. So it just sort of seems like where he thinks he's going to be happiest, and maybe that's not here.
Well, and, you know, there is some baggage, and just like Machado as well. I mean, you know, if you like somebody who can hit home runs and not run out grounders, then you got a good guy there. But, I mean, I think that's a lot of it, too, of, you know what you're getting with these guys.
Right. But then again, there's the other side of it is that teams really do not want to commit. I mean, Harper's real young, so there's not much of that worry here, but they don't want a repeat of some of these situations like with Albert Pujols where he signed that massive contract and then just fell off the map pretty much. So there are a lot of teams that are worried that they're going to these huge contracts are just going to be millstones around their necks once these players stop producing. Whether that's going to happen to Harper, I don't think it will, just because he's so young. But they probably have to worry about it. They have something they have to think about.
How's the following of the Nats in and around D.C.? Pretty good?
Good, yeah. I mean, for a team that isn't, you know, they've only been around since 2005, so this is, what, their 14th season here, and they really, you know, there's been, you know, the measure of disappointment that some of these teams haven't gone farther than they have. You know, same old Washington sports team.
Right.
They just flounder in the playoffs. But now, I mean, strangely enough, you know, you see the Capitals winning the Stanley Cup, and strangely enough, it may have taken some pressure off the rest of the city's teams to win just because one of them did. So it's not like there's this, you know, any so-called curse on the city's teams. And maybe without Harper, there'd be less pressure, you know, knowing that the spotlight will be on them a little less. Maybe there's a little less pressure, and maybe they come out ahead of this.
Did I read somewhere that they tried to build a new stadium for the Redskins that got shot down? Did I read that?
Yeah, there's been all sorts of trouble with that. I mean, the Redskins team now is terrible. It's hard to get to, and it's not very fan friendly, and it's just, you know, it's one of these stadiums in the middle and kind of pretty much nowhere, surrounded by a sea of parking lots. So they've been trying to move back into the city, and there's a lot of people here in the city that don't want them to move back. And then the governor of Maryland was dangling this piece of land that the government owns, and they could sort of do a land swap to get a stadium built, and then he rescinded that offer. So they're sort of stuck. No one really wants to help Daniel Snyder pay for a stadium.
Right.
The thing I don't know if he really comprehends that right now. But I think he gets the point now that no one is going to give any tax money to a football stadium, you know, that's operational for 15 days out of the year. And that's, you know, with concerts included and all that stuff. So it'll be sort of interesting to see what he does moving forward if he can't really find a place to play.
It's funny, man. Matt Bonestell, he's our correspondent in Washington. It covers everything for us up there. Yeah, let's go. Let's finish off with the Wizards here.
Around the map.
How are they? Because you know what? I hate to say this. When I think of sports franchises and this sounds awful, but don't take it that way. This kind of irrelevant. They kind of come to, like, the Minnesota Timberwolves. They don't do much for me. Is that wrong?
No, they just kind of exist, and every few years they'll you know, push up into the, you know, win 40 some games, but they haven't won 50 games in so long. We called it their 4-minute mile in a story I think last week, that they just cannot, for whatever reason, they've never won 50 games. So they just are there, and you know, it just seems like the management is content with having a good at best team, never great, and now we have John Wall being out for the next calendar year, and that's not going to help anything. So there's a lot of questions about where this franchise is going to have to go in the next year with Wall out and trading Porter and, you know, all this rebuilding, whether they go full tank or whether they try to make the best with what they have and get a good draft pick from there.
Ted Leonsis owns both the Capitals and the Bullets. There you go. Shows my they haven't been good since the Washington Bullets, as a matter of fact.
They had a few good years with Wall and Beal and Porter, but, you know, Wall just can't stay healthy anymore. So.
Well, I was thinking about Wes Unseld, but that's another it's another century.
That's back. That goes back. They were good then, yep.
But it just seems, is he a good owner? It just seems like he gives the Capitals every opportunity.
Yeah, well, the Capitals sort of, They've made smart personnel decisions, and you know, they lucked into the lottery to get Ovechkin, and they got a bunch of other high draft picks around that same time, and they've developed those players really well. And, you know, they just formed this very tight core of really solid players. And I think the Wizards tried to do that, and, you know, it just seems like, you know, you got two guards and two not, like, huge guards that they've sort of centered around. And I think the league is going in a different direction. The NBA is going in a different direction than that, that you need a really, you know, you need really big players who can do everything now. You know, you got 7-foot guys who can play point guard now. So, and the Wizards just don't seem to have anything beyond those two guys, and they need way more than that.
Matt Bonestell, Washington Post. Matt, as always, thank you. We'll be sending you a check soon, since you're our boots on the ground in D.C.
Well, I'm going to ask you, though, are you coming here for the NFL draft?
I wish I could. I wish I could. Oh. That'd be great fun, but I'm afraid I'm chained to my desk here.
All right.
Well, we'll put a few. I know Mr. Bezos pretty well. So.
All right, great. Yes, yeah, put in a word.
We'll do that. Matt, thanks, brother.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Matt Bonestell, The Washington Post.
I mean, that's a lot.